Spark is actually, she's consented to accept questions. Anybody's got anything they'd like to ask?
Coming Prime Minister, my name is Jenny Lane and I'm in the oil and gas front industry in New Zealand and here. And as you were talking about addressing the trade balance, and I think one thing New Zealand could well do is look at the new regime, which led by Sir Moi Abe, I think in India, which is quite superior to New Zealand's, in my view. I mean, perhaps New Zealand's just improved its regime, but if you get the opportunity, I think it would be quite good to speak with Sir Moi, kind of thing. And the other question I have, or actually the question, is how do you think the new foreign minister is going to deal with international immigration issues in New Zealand?
Firstly, I expect to meet that minister later today, so I'll be very happy to hear if there's any tips on oil and gas regimes. But as you say, ours has been spruced up more recently, and I think there's quite a lot of interest in oil and gas exploration in New Zealand at the present time. Secondly, with respect to the labour, the migration issue, New Zealand's views on this are reasonably clear, and I'll spell them out. We are aware that the issue of temporary labour, seasonal labour, is coming up for discussion. New Zealand, for a long period of time, has provided for migration from a number of Pacific countries to New Zealand. Permanent migration, not temporary worker migration. We have obviously open entry from those small island states which are closely associated with us and governed in association with us, such as Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau. That experience of course also shows some of the downside, because far and away the greatest number of people of origin from those islands now live in New Zealand, to the point where viability of some small states can become an issue. We also have a long-standing permanent quota from Samoa, and again the proportion of Samoans of working age who apply to come under the quota is extremely high, and I hope that one of the things we can really push through the Pacific plan is the desirability of development within the Pacific itself, rather than the need being seen for the best and brightest to come to one of the metropolitan countries in the region. We have in the past 4 years set up quotas for permanent migration from Fiji and Tonga and Kiribati and Tuvalu. With respect to seasonal and temporary labour, it is true that we have shortages. Quite a lot of the places are filled by the extensive working holiday arrangements we have with other countries, and there's about 40,000 places a year now for those. But we are prepared to talk with Pacific governments and with employers in New Zealand about the use of temporary entry to New Zealand. But we would need to have clear understandings about this not leading to a rise in the population of illegals. Because where that happens, you get people living completely under the threshold of acceptable conditions, with exploitation in employment, and of course with no access to the normal health and other benefits which go with living in a first world society. So those are some of the issues we would have to look at very carefully.
Thank you. Prime Minister, my name is Richard Casman. I'd like your comment on this issue. In our case in the Pacific Islands for economic growth and trade, sometimes we may compromise the need to develop entrepreneurial skills from the indigenous peoples of the Pacific Islands. And those of us need to deal in the business world and continue to be part of our traditional societies, and sometimes they could conflict with each other. And I feel that sometimes this is a big issue which is probably overlooked or maybe oblivious to our big sister nations, Australia and New Zealand. when they come through to put through these sort of programs. I'd appreciate your comment on that. And then secondly, and I haven't put this into any priority, but speaking from the rugby fraternity, we'd appreciate if New Zealand Rugby Union would help support Indigenous rugby union players who play in the Super 14s again, like they used to.
Well, as you know, New Zealand's been a tremendous beneficiary of the skills of Pacific rugby players. And I should say, looking at our league team the other night from the league area as well, although the result could have been a little better, but we won't go there. If people played the full 80 minutes rather than the first half, it would have been better. There we go. But on the first issue that you raised, perhaps I could answer it by saying that in New Zealand there is tremendous momentum behind Māori entrepreneurship now. And there may be models developing out of there which would be interesting to Pacific nations looking at working up their entrepreneurial models while still having respect for and connection with culture, which is so important. Early this year, we had a major Māori economic development conference in New Zealand. It was funded by the government, resourced by the government, but entirely Māori-led. And called the Hui Taumata, and it's set out quite an exciting direction for Māori economic development and business activity. We also fund a Pacific Business Trust in New Zealand to support the formation and growth of Pacific people's businesses. So it may be that there's approaches in there that might be interesting to the Pacific.
Prime Minister, my name is Osea Philemon from the First Korean newspaper. Over the past week, there's been a large gathering of civil society members, organizations meeting in Port Moresby, and basically to discuss the Pacific Plan. Now, I understand that they want the Pacific Plan endorsement delayed until the people of the Pacific are fully consulted, as they say. What is your view on?
There has been a lot of consultation, and it's been done at the national level. And so the Forum Secretariat has come in, and there has been engagement. Look, the reality is that you can never consult enough, but there also comes a point at which you have to start doing something. And I think the key thing about the plan is it's not something set in stone that can never be altered. It's evolving. It's dynamic. And you need to keep consulting as you move on through. And I'm sure from the point of view of the Forum Secretariat, there's an absolute commitment to doing that.
Brandon, Mr. Peter, yes, you're from Moresby as well. One of the key things in the Pacific Plan and economic sustainability is the issue of how we protect our fishery resource within the Pacific, and none of the Pacific Island nations on their own have the capacity, naval capacity, to be able to provide sufficient surveillance and monitoring to see that poaching does not take place in our waters. What thoughts does New Zealand have in relation to this, and what sort of cooperation can be done to take care of this vital resource?
Well, I think both Australia and New Zealand have their surveillance aircraft ranging far and wide, and certainly from our point of view, we have Tokelau, which is still in effect a colony of New Zealand, with very large EEZ, which is going through the exercise of self-determination right now, and that's likely to change. We've got Cook's and Niue with big economic zones, so clearly if we were active nowhere else, we would be supporting surveillance by air from for those countries. But our support goes far wider than that in the Pacific, and we accept there is a responsibility to help with that. It's simply not possible for smaller island states to finance surveillance aircraft ranging over the very, very large economic zones that are there. I'm sure Australia takes a similar attitude.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
much, Mrs. Clark. I'd like to ask Mark Lawson to come up and give a vote of thanks on behalf of the Chamber, please.
Prime Minister, on behalf of the Port Moresby Chamber of Commerce and Industry, its members and guests who are in attendance here today, please accept our thanks for agreeing to share your time with us in what must be a very heavy schedule in your first visit here to Papua New Guinea. I think the level of interest in your presentation today is evidenced very much by the lack of empty seats here at this morning's meeting. Whilst we at the Chamber take with some pride the level of attendance that we get at our breakfast sessions, I think today is by far the largest attendance we've had, so thank you very much. May I say that with respect to the Pacific Plan, I think that your thoughts ring with resolution around the room and certainly within the business community of Papua New Guinea. As I and many other colleagues of mine around the room here have worked across other parts of the Pacific, I think we all understand that there is a natural affinity that Pacific Islanders have for each other, whilst still recognising that they are, in their own right, quite different. But to turn that affinity into action, I think, is a critical part of the necessary development we need to go through. And to focus back to the four pillars that you referred to, of economic development, governance, terrorism, or the threat of terrorism, and security and sustainable growth, are all critical to the well-being of the Pacific and into the future. We do hope that you enjoy your continued visit here to Papua New Guinea, and good luck with your discussions at the forum. I'm sure they'll be interesting, to say the least. Ladies and gentlemen, please join with me in thanking the Right Honourable Helen Clark, Prime Minister of New Zealand.